President, let the record reflect that all members are present except for President Pease, Vice President Couteau, and Wastewater Manager Goldsworthy.
Okay, thank you very much. And this is the time where we have public comments. And if you see public here, okay. I'll call those public comments. We'll move on to staff to start it off with Section C.
Okay, well, welcome to the annual board workshop. We do this annually. We take a look at the accomplishments that were highlighted in the prior year, and then we'll move into things that are on the books that we're looking forward to in the remainder of this fiscal year, fiscal years to come for two or three out, and then we're going to look for board recommendations or suggestions at the end. However, as I say that, as we go through these slides, raise a hand. I'm not going to read everything to you. If you see something that I need a little information on that, we'll stop and ask the question. We'll attempt to address it, and we'll move forward in that fashion. Slide. So we're going to begin with a review of the mission, vision, goals, and values. And just explain the rest of it. And so we're going to go right on to the mission, vision, goals, and values. If you can read that, we'll just have you kind of go over that. Staff's position is we're good with it. If you feel it's stale, needs more work, should have other things, please let us know. Third quarter.
Before you move on to the other, I know there was some questions on the quantity of people that are showing up, and I never heard anything after, so I'm going to Odyssey of Minds.
Do you have a comment on the attendance that occurred at the summer?
Odyssey of the Minds, the
park. Camping trip? Night
at the park.
The park. I heard it was well attended.
Yeah.
I know Matt went out there.
There was
Matt did. It was well attended.
Okay. But there was a concern with the amount of people who did that.
To my knowledge, there was no concern of how many people showed up.
Good. Yeah, there were some minor issues that we did on an overacting, you know, on an action report, so that we'll address if this happens again. So, and this, of course, this was a huge deal. The LAFCO Municipal Services Review, they have to do that every, I think it's 5 years. And that is a big deal, and we went through it with flying colors, so we were happy about that. Director Mayor, we want to recognize that President Pease has arrived at 4:05 p.m.
Sorry, I'm late. Got time out of it.
Okay. Next slide, please.
Is there a point in some place later on we're going to talk about the diffuser?
A little bit, yes.
Okay.
Yes. That's an ongoing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Next slide.
Mike, on the Cornell Park bathrooms, we're following up on that to make sure we don't backslide in terms of maintenance.
Yeah, we have had Bailey's kind of on it, but also the park guys are supposed to go in there and make sure that it's being kept clean.
Yeah, I was in there yesterday and both of them, and it's better than it was.
Well, the thing is overnight someone can go in there. I mean, those things are used from sun up to sun down, probably later than that.
There was debris in there from wind and stuff like that.
That's the problem. It's an open area, and so everything just kind of blows in there. It's pretty amazing. So we try to blow it out when we're out there.
And how do we live with our new IT consultant?
IT consultants are great. They're maybe, Dina, can you expand on that a little more? I'm happy with it.
Yeah, so the implementation of new computers and new protection has been started. Almost everybody in the district had a new computer because our computers were very, very old. Yeah. We were running on borrowed time. We've got Sophos, which is a new protection. So they, if anything gets into our system, we don't have to pay bitcoins. They can segregate it and get us back up and running within hours. So they're continuing to work on our district's our security for IT and protection, and we're going to look into a new server as well, and we're going to need a new server. So, yeah, so they're moving right along. We have a huge checklist that they gave me, and we're just plugging right through it. So.
And that's going to dovetail into when Dina explains to Malia. Which is an acronym that is a water security mandate that we have, and we have our most up-to-date IT people that are doing it for multiple agencies, so that'll be a plus. We'll expand on that later. Mm-hmm. Anything else on this slide? Okay, next slide. Fourth quarter. I would point out bullet point number 3. This was a huge deal. They do not overturn or make changes to anything up there. We put the full court press on. We really put all of our minds together on how to persuade them, and we won, which you just don't hear of that. So we're pretty proud of that. I don't know if you want to answer questions for the public now or afterwards. I know that Bill kind of raised his hand. I'm just pointing that out to you.
Go ahead.
I have no idea what RWQCB is or NPBES is. So
pollutant discharge elimination system.
Does that help?
That helps.
And maybe tagging on to that, what were some of the significant changes that were challenged and that they ended up making? Go ahead.
Bernie? So on our ammonia, on our new D9 plant, they had us a limit of 0.7, which is going to be very tough to meet. And when they created our permit, they gave us a very stringent permit limit of 0.7, so we were able to go back and bring out some data and they had some anomaly they were putting in there also that was giving us a low reading. So we was able to get them to take that out and gave us a 1.2 on our ammonia, so it gives us more cushion now with the D9 program. Because it was going to be very hard with the D9 to meet that 0.7 anyway. So.
Which then we won't get fined or won't
correct.
Be arrested. And as I recall, you guys did such a great job in your presentation. They actually gave you more than you were asking for. Is that right?
We were asking for one. And
okay,
one point two.
Good job.
Okay. And no objection. We'll change slides. Fourth quarter continued. Question on the front lights. Are those on a photo cell or a timer or how does it?
It's a photo cell.
I'm still not convinced that those. We're talking about the front entrance light. I was telling Bill and Mark that there seems like there's one stream of lights that's a little faded. You saw it too, Dad. More faded than the others. We need to dial that in. We're still trying to get the company to come out here and validate our re-hook up is good.
Okay. Questions on this? I did get a couple of comments back on that, which I was able to explain things to talking to you last night. They were asking why the lights were changing color on any given day, in given that. So I passed back to the ones that had question that there's some practice we're going to be doing. We're going to change the lights and get familiar with the operation of the system.
And we're going to try to match a color to a particular month or my mood, one of the two. We're going to try to have it reflect something in the month. If it's Christmassy, if it's Halloween, maybe it's orange, you know, something.
Good. We're hanging the big disco ball out there too, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Ends it in the park. Okay. And with that, next slide.
Viability of it. You can correct me if I'm wrong on anything.
make me sound more intelligent, Bernie. But so that's the process we're in. We just got the right of entry. All that legal document's been completed, and our next phase is to put some testing wells up there.
Right.
Yes. Just for clarification, well A, if you aren't aware, well, it is a built one. That's a new well. So we'll refer to A. It's
So we're not going to upgrade any of the filters and storage at Newport. It's going to be all handled at the well site.
It'll be a self-sufficient well. So what happens is the well will kick on, go through a filtration, add chlorine, and feed the system.
Okay.
And then there'll be a backwash tank there to backwash the system.
I imagine there was a lot of discussion on the best way to do it, and that's what we came up with.
A lot of advantages to having to be an independent system. You have to shut down the other systems. This can push through.
Understood.
It's almost like having a third plant.
Yes.
Okay. Janet?
Cathodic protection. So we've, working with Mike Uraka, realized that cathodic protection can help prolong our pipes, especially new ones that we put in the ground. So everywhere, time we put in a new pipe, whether it's underground or crossing, or just a new pipe in a street, or a new kind of steel or metal facilities that we're going to put cathodic protection. So that will be an ongoing thing from now until they create something better to prolong our facilities. You'll see that here. You'll see that in the 2021. You'll see that every year as we start putting in new products. Laguna and Marina underwater crossings. I believe the Water Wastewater Committee has kind of discussed those quite a bit. We are still in the process of working out how to fix those, but it's ongoing, and we have Mike Uraka and Aaron working on those diligently.
Just to piggyback on that, we're looking at potentially putting a patch,
yes.
Sending the diver down, clearing it out, actually putting a clam patch over it, and there's some challenges with that, but that's, if we could do that, that's the least expensive way to do it, so we might give that a whirl, and that's what we're looking at right now.
Yeah, along with that clamp, they are thinking about also putting a sleeve through as well. So, and that's on the Marina one. The Laguna one, I think we're still in, do you know anything further on the Laguna one?
No, they're still waiting.
The analysis.
But it's an indication, potentially an indication. We've got 9 underwater.
There's 11 underwater crossings.
Okay. So
we've
got 11 underwater, all the same age, or close to.
Close to.
In the early stages of age.
That's right.
And even though we do the patch, we're liable to see some others.
Right. We're also going to do the cathodic protection on that, and then we're also going to be putting the cathodic protections on the other one to. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you can say stop further deterioration, but certainly slowing down.
Yes,
slowly.
Yeah,
good.
Water asset management plan. This is something that I'm really excited about. Is that we need to assess and kind of document everything we have on the water side. So this is pipes, hydrants, valves. Meters, so we're starting to work on that now. And in partnership with Woodruff Scalmanini, our internal staff, and Bernie and Veolia, we're starting to put that together. So we saw kind of a first pass of what it looks like, and it's going to be all electronic. So now when Aaron and company and his team go out into the field and they uncover something or see something, they're able to take a like an iPad or Surface Pro 3 pin drop where they find something, and it goes boop right into our asset management plan. So it's definitely going to help us in the future with doing capital improvements and understanding what we have. So because right now some of our pipes, since they were put in so long ago, we don't have really good documentation about the size, what type of materials, and so this will help us.
This is an example. We have a water leak going on a little late.
Yeah.
We're trying to diagnose what's there. We don't think we have any pipes there. If it becomes. We're doing fine wall, though. It becomes very expensive. Mm-hmm. So now it should have been done a long time ago. We're taking up what should have been done and doing it now.
Yes.
Excellent.
Okay. So we are repairing some filters at Newport and Willow. I don't know too much about those yet, but we're going to be just, they need repair. We're going to repair them for those treatment plants. And go ahead, Bernie. Please take it away.
So at Newport, filter B has some mud balls on it, and we need to change out the sand filters inside of it, and we think it's causing from the well. The sand filter has 7 layers of sand in it, and then we did some core testing on it, and we found there's little mud balls in it, so So we need to replace that sand, basically, in the sand filter. And the same thing with Willow Lake, filter B, we found some broken underlying water lines that are broken inside, so we need to get those repaired. They were originally put in with PVC, and we want to switch those out to more sturdy piping. So.
Is this a new part? Is that because of the location, the type of well it is?
No, it's just the filter and well 7 coming up, pumping the water up is a little more. But we got a little more material in it than the other well does.
Okay, main pipe replacement project. So this is a very large project that's going to take us many years to do. It is in the rate study. We are going to start small, and then we're going to build up to replacing a lot of the piping that's on the oldest part of town before, hopefully, any failures. So we're going to start, actually, with two major pipeline replacements next year. That's going to be the Edgeview and St. Andrews and Clubhouse. And also, we're going to do the Firwood Court under Lakeview Business Plaza. So those are the two we're going to start with. So that's not necessarily that side of town, but those are two that we've identified that need to be completed first. And then we're slowly going to start moving down Willow Lake and wrap around. It's 18 miles of piping. That's 40 plus years old. So we're going to do slow and steady and keep moving until that is completed.
How did we select a starting point? Is that by age or by failure or both?
So probably by failure. So these two we've identified that they need to get done. Yeah. And so we've decided to start with those. And then we'll slowly start moving. If there are any failures, then we'll jump to that location and we'll work this way, right? So
I think some of it is determined by not only age, but by the type of pipe that's used. So some types of pipes deteriorate faster than others.
Right.
So
we're finding when we do flushing on the hydrant that the pipe, part of the pipe is coming out, the glass lining inside the pipe is coming out.
Yeah. So it'll be a combination, I'll say that. Again, with all of that, we're going to be putting on cathodic protection. We have a new well rehabilitation program. So every 3 years, we put money in our capital improvement plan to rehabilitate our wells, some of our older wells. So next fiscal year, we're going to start with well 1B. Okay. I talked about Edgeview and Firwood. And then, Mike, if you'll take over the continued development of the groundwater sustainability plan, as you've been working very closely with that.
Yeah, working with our partners that share the aquifer with us. We've, as we described earlier, last year got a San Juan Tracy sub-basin split, where we now have the East Contra Costa sub-basin that we're a part of now. Now we're looking at development of the groundwater sustainability plan, which we have an MOU with these other agencies that we agree to play nice in how we utilize water from our aquifer. This is a requirement by the state. We have a grant in place. Now there's going to be monitoring wells, and there's quite a bit of an expense leading up to this plan and how we're going to monitor and do all these things in this plan. And this grant has really helped, and so we're looking at probably a $10,000 contribution next year because of the grant instead of a $100,000 contribution. So that's good news. We're continuing to do that, and we meet on a monthly basis. So I'll keep you apprised on that. We also have it on our website so that our residents can provide input to us. That's also part of community outreach. So we put it on our water bills, and so we're doing our part.
Okay, we're going to be doing a lot of planning on the water side. So we have a water master plan, and that's essentially our capital improvement plan. So we're going to be putting into the budget a 5-year capital improvement plan, but we also looked well out into the future as well. So my spreadsheet goes out another 4 years and then a little bit further into the future. So we're really trying to plan ahead for potential things. The 2020 Urban Water Management Plan, that is a plan to prepare us every 5 years to look at the support for long-term resource planning and water supply sustainability. America's Water Infrastructure Act. This is now very serious, and we're taking it very serious. We are a very small agency, so we have to have a plan complete by 2023. And what that's going to start with, it's going to start with a risk assessment. And so we're going to do a risk assessment of our entire water facilities. We're going to, from there, going to develop a plan. Then we're going to train our employees on that plan. We're going to have alerts and how we're going to respond to emergencies or any breaks or issues and our reporting requirements. And then we're going to have a plan of how to recover from this if anything were to happen. So that we've been attending webinars, we've got books, and we're taking this very seriously. So we're going to start the planning this next July and start the process because we don't want to be behind the game. We want to be ahead of the game.
Just to piggyback on that, we're going to be working with Lou Martin Scalanini.
Yes.
But this also may involve a consultant of some type at some point because this can get very complicated. We don't know yet. A lot of the stuff they say, they have the end result posted, but they don't really tell you how to get there yet.
Yeah.
So a lot will be dependent on as more information comes out on this.
Yeah, so we've been looking at some case studies, but these are very large cities that we're looking at. So we're small, and there aren't a lot of plans or people to look at there. But yes, we do have some money in the budget to begin this plan, or at least a risk assessment, and with a consultant, if needed. Emergency response and preparedness plan. Mike, would you like to discuss that a little bit? That's a complete EAP of the program? I don't know.
Well, we're looking at, we've actually spent some time with Rec 800 to go over some, what are our cooperation plans if some major event occurs within the town of Discovery Bay. We actually have implemented SIMS and NIMS, which is the methodology for how you respond in an emergency, because you cannot describe every emergency, so you describe the procedures you will do in emergencies. And we have all those in place. However, we want to look at refining those a little bit for our own use. For example, you know, how do we turn everything off in the case of an emergency? What will that plan be? You know, what are our priorities? So we're going to be looking at those kind of things for shutoffs and what if scenarios on our own, even though you can't really plan for everything. But we're going to be looking at that. We really haven't done that yet.
Cross-connection control program. We are working with Ludo Palmanini, Veolia Water, and internally. This is a program that we haven't quite solidified yet of the direction we'd like to go, but we are working on it. It's a very complicated program. So, and because we are on the Delta, it makes it a little bit more complicated, but we are working very diligently to create a plan and move forward with that. Okay.
Next slide.
Okay. Lift stations. So, as you know, we used to farm out our lift station repairs, and we'd go to RFP. Well, since Veolia has hired Rambler, or his
Inspiration.
Yeah.
Inspiration. Control.
Yeah, he has been able to build a lot of these for us, and so at a fraction of the cost that we were paying. So lift station R is actually going to be put in place within the next few days, correct?
Lift station R was done last May.
Excuse me.
We
can
make lift station J, which is our skipper.
Yes, and then we're going to be starting S. So, and then Bertie can talk a little bit more about those and how those.
So basically what we're doing, we're taking the older lift stations, taking the old controls out because they're old, obsolete, they have old modicon, they don't make the equipment obsolete, and we're upgrading them all to Allen Bradley, which is all of our new equipment. And then as we upgrade the control panels, now we're able to bring it into SCADA, and operators can run them through SCADA now. Switch pumps, stuff like that, those levels. So more control and all that through SCADA. And we've been doing one at a time, like so in the house. Originally, we were going to farm all out at one time, but it was too costly. And we'll be able to do it in the house now since we have an experienced person inside. And then once we get done with those, we'll move into the vaulted lift stations, which are on the east side of town. The older ones, we're going to move the control panels, which are down inside the vault, up to the top of the vault, because when you go into them now, they're considered confined space. So every time we go into them, we have to, you know, monitor air and all that. This way we can check them outside without putting in.
Yeah. If you haven't been over to the control room over at wastewater treatment plant and see them all interconnected, it's very cool.
What's this lift station over here on the corner of River Lake?
F.
F? What's going on there the other day? Was there a problem?
We're just doing annual PM. Okay. Every year we pull up all the pumps and all the...
Yeah, I saw the lift truck over there. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Wastewater Treatment Plant 1, the refurbishment and the denitrification project has been approved by the Board of Directors. Gregory is in the design phase at the moment, and so that is moving forward. Outfall diffuser, the engineer's report has been developed, and the outfall diffuser repairs, we're waiting for CEQA documents. So those have been prepared and submitted, now we're waiting for those.
Yeah, we've just been published, and yeah, there were some delays, but that it's out for publication right now from the State Clearinghouse. There's some time factors there, and then once that's completed, we can start working on fixing the diffusers, which will require an engineer's report on how to do it.
Yeah.
Okay, next one.
We talked about the first one when we talked about R, so I'll move ahead. Plant 2, clarifier number 3, rehab.
Yeah, clarifier 3 and plant 2 is the oldest clarifier when Hoffman built the facility. And part of it's deteriorating. The ring on the outside of the metal is just deteriorating, falling off. So we got to do some minor refurbishment to it.
Again, the denitrification project is in the design phase. And prepare the denitrification project bond. We've met with Brandis Tallman. We started slowly discussing, they're a bond underwriter, so we started discussing some bond options, and we've met with the finance committee, and we have a meeting Monday they're gonna come and present to the finance committee some rates and some ideas. So that's moving forward. So we have some combined projects for water and wastewater. Remodeling the building by Well 1B, that was Virgil's old office. So we have some ideas internally of what we'd like to do with that. We haven't solidified anything yet, but we'll be bringing those back to the Water Wastewater Committee and then the Board of Directors when we finalize an idea. But we've been bouncing around a lot of ideas, and so
we have a couple. The goal when you remodel it is to use for. That's part of us being an internal conversation. But the building's dilapidated.
Yeah.
It's almost a hazard.
It looks like it could be used for something.
Yeah.
And I have several ideas in my head. So.
And remodel, does that include any improvements on the road going into it? Is that what's up there?
There's some concern about some growth that's along the side that may be eroding some of that, and I know I had talked to Virgil before he left about that. I have to talk further with Aaron about probably going to have to get JW Backhoe out there and scoop all that out, and because it's starting to lift some of the asphalt on one side of it.
Yes.
So that needs to be addressed.
Good.
Okay, truck replacement. So we're always putting money away in a revolving fund to be able to replace our trucks. We are going to be replacing a truck this fiscal year and passing one down to the landscape department. And then next fiscal year, we have another truck replacement and hopefully to do the same. That is makes it easier for landscape to be able to afford vehicles that are fairly new and not so old and dilapidated and get rid of surplus of old ones. So that's part of something that we've created in water wastewater. District security. So I've been working with Bernie. This is a good Veolia project, and so it's almost done. We're doing kind of references right now on three organizations that we've looked at, and then we'll be bringing those back to you.
Right. Kind of just looking at their references. They all gave us references, and we're calling them, seeing kind of service, stuff like that.
So this is including cameras, gates, key fobs.
Access control.
And so we have.
So are we looking to do much over at Plant 1?
There'll be some basic right
now. You're not going to put a whole bunch into
it. There'll be a camera there and gate access. Okay. And about it.
Yeah. Okay. Cybersecurity and information technology. Again, this is an ongoing thing that we keep hearing about in the industry. We're taking this very serious. We're protecting our district. We're working with Precision IT to do this. So, let's see. Talked about the truck replacement and commence of a new main office building. Mike, would you like to take that away?
Slide. I think it's on the next slide.
No,
I will get back to that.
Okay. Go ahead.
As you know, we're still looking at the pool refurbishment and new pool design. Right now, the plans are in environmental health. Once environmental health makes a recommendation to TerraCon, I can presume that TerraCon will incorporate those into the plans and then submit to the building department. It's been in, I would say that environmental health has had it for at least 2 weeks. I'll probably follow up with environmental health next week to say, when's it coming? We want to light a fire under this. But the next stage would be receive whatever comments there are for them and send it to the building department for their comments and review. Yes?
I just wanted to mention that wastewater manager Goldsworthy walked in at 4:36.
Thank you very much. And so that's where we are on this. The POT's right with their invoices. We're monitoring that by the POT. And that's that. Dog park. The dog park, I think there's going to be an article coming out on in the papers. Amelie has been inquiring about that. So the dog park should be completed on, or actually, we're hopeful, is the key word, that it'll be open for Pawson Parade, which is April 18th. So we'll do a grand opening of the dog park. The sod should have been, the seat should be taken. The lawn grown fairly decent, good. And so everything's working out, and that'll be a great day. So, and then, believe it or not, we are still working on zone consulting. I can tell you that when this started, there were some issues on some numbers provided by our little parks and recreation and landscape manager. We've reviewed those. We need to fine-tune those. We're looking at refining those costs. If we bring this out to our public, we want to be right. We want to make sure the numbers are right. We don't want to charge more than is reasonable, and we don't want to undercut so that we're in the same position we are now, so that it's a fair representation of our costs to the voters. And I'll let Julie tell you where we're at with that right now.
Yeah, Monica and Bill and I, over the last, in January, drove the whole town and did an inventory, compiling the reports, and we're going to have to re-cost them out. The information that they had was full of errors. It would have been bad if we had gone forward with that. So over the next couple months, we'll be working with the zone consultants once we get the numbers to him and have him calculate them out. It's a long process. I mean, we've had to count trees and signs and you name it. So now we need to see what needs to be replaced right away and what it's going to cost to maintain and what it's going to cost to maintain it correctly and not just to do it on the cheap. So it's a process that's going to become a high priority here once we get through March.
Yeah, our goal is everyone have confidence that what we've done is right. Okay, thanks, Julie. Moving on. 2021, we are hopeful that we will get our WW grant from East Bay Regional Parks in the amount of $68,000. Couple that with up to $30,000 of donated funds by the pickleball group, and we will be changing tennis courts 3 and 4 to 6 pickleball courts, something that's dilapidated and not used now into something that is useful, and we think we'll get lots and lots of play, which is why we have this place. And then landscape master plan, you want to talk about that a little bit, Bill?
So I think, 2021, that's how I see this happening is basically it's a landscape improvement master plan, some things we've talked about with the Park and Recs Committee. And then in coordination with that is Parks Recreation, or Parks Community Center and Streetscape Maintenance Plan, which I don't know if ever has been done for the city. So it's getting things to a spot, a nice spot, and then how are we going to take care of these?
Yeah. Okay, slide. Zone 9 capital projects, Ravenswood play structure. We're about to go out for purchase of a play structure. That'll be coming before the board for approval. We're writing up that request in the next board meeting. And then what we will do is that's where the purchase of the play structure, which comes like, you know, bicycles used to come. You have to put it together. So then we have to go out to RFP, find somebody to put the structure together. So it's really a two-part endeavor. We're going to go with one that we've run by the Park and Rec Committee. A little more expensive than a less expensive bid, but a far superior product that's worth the extra money in the long run. So we'll be giving you more information on that at the board. Okay, Julie, audit.
Audit. We've completed the audit. Right now, our CPA firm is compiling the draft financials. They are going to be here on the 10th. They will be sent out and we'll publish to you. And our partner, Mark Croce, who's new to the account, he's replaced Polly. They have to switch partners so often. To work on the accounts, he will be here on the 18th to present the financials to you. So those will be coming early next week. Everything went well. There was no outstanding issues with the audit. I'm aware.
SB 998, the new shutoff law, we started working on this early on. We saw that this was a huge deal. Just to remind you, this was a complex, huge, huge law that was mandated to be in place February 1st of this year. It involved all these requirements in terms of when you can shut off someone's water for lack of payment, and a bunch of requirements in that regard, and then a lot of reaching out to people that are on either medical provider, you know, they need medical water for medical reasons, or they're on in economic distress, and allowing them to make payments, and a bunch of notice requirements. It has to be in five different languages, all the notice and this kind of stuff. And we had that up and running actually on February 1st. We were up and running. It's been in process. It's been actually great. It's been working really smooth. We haven't had any hiccups yet. And one of the things, when I got here as general manager, we told the staff that at some point I want to turn Discovery Bay into looking to see how other people do it, to where other people are looking to see how it does it. Discovery Bay does it. And this is one of those things where they're calling us, how'd you do that? So that's a good feeling. And
so I have a suggestion on that. I have to forward it to you. It has to be. Get our money back on that. When somebody calls in and says, hey, we'll send you our whole thing. It costs us whatever the number, $6,000 to fill you for free. Every time you get a call.
Oh, you mean a new agency?
Yeah.
Oh, another agency. So if another agency calls me, I'll say, I'll be happy to tell you how to do this. I'll send you an invoice when you pay it. I'll tell you how we did it.
Well, yeah, well, well, you have to send them our whole thing.
With an invoice.
Yeah,
I know there'll be some other
copies. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, they send us back. But I like the way you think.
Yeah. Hey, we'll send you the key to the lock if you send us some money.
So with the SB 988, there are certain concerns on the functionality of not trying to interpret and get an operation. Do you see any big holes in us? Switching over into that, not switching over, but moving into that.
This was well thought through. There will always be holes. You never know until there's case law and stuff, etc. We did things where we interpreted, I can tell you this, we interpreted the law exactly as how it's written, which we were able to concise the way we did things, while other agencies are writing, you know, 20-page policies and putting those in 20 pages in five different languages and sending it out as a notice to the residents. We didn't do that. We thought this thing through. There's yet to be any case law on it. We have some interesting things with some bankruptcies that occurred. We have a policy and a practice of giving the benefit of the doubt to the rate to the customer. So I think we are anticipating some of these things. We're prepared for them, that may be circumstances that are square pegs in a round hole. And I think we're ready to go. We don't know what's going to hit us, but benefit of the doubt always goes to the customer.
And we also took the opportunity to update some of the policies and procedures that we were doing, too, for rental properties. And so now, you know, the landlord has to be the one that's responsible for the water. Now they can, you know, choose to have the bill sent to the tenant, but closing that hole is going to help a lot. And we took a proactive approach and contacted all of our landlords too. And so they were very appreciative that they learned beforehand.
Do a rate study?
Yep. As we talked about in the last finance meeting and last night in the water committee meeting, we are doing a rate study. We're doing it a year early. We have a rate study that goes through 2021, but we're doing it a year early because we've got a lot of the projects that Dina has gone through, and especially the D9. So we're updating our rate study right now with Leschewitz and Zhang, and Allison will be here on the 18th to present the report. We also are going to have to go out for a 218 ballot, and we have hired her firm to do that for us, which is very inexpensive and money well spent. And we are also working with some bond underwriters, as Mike had said, and we'll be meeting with them at a special finance committee meeting on Monday.
So a lot of what takes place during that bond finance meeting strategies can fit into a little bit how the rate study gets structured. So a lot of chess playing here. Okay. Updated purchasing policy. Thank you to the board for approving the new policy with some more modern day amounts. And then the updated surplus property. The change there was a necessary change to basically the account that purchased the property. When you sell the property, it goes back into that same account. That's basically what the change was. Next slide. Okay, so as you can easily read, this is just a general reminder of the overall assignment. I use that word loosely. To outside committees, meetings, and this goes for 2 years. So we're in the second year of this. We will redo this in January of 2021. So that's just for your information. Okay, so looking forward, still key issues and projects in progress. You've been updated on location of well number 8. As you know, we go through the county for cutting our checks. They are our treasurer, which is a good way to go when you're a new, unsophisticated district. We're going to tackle taking that on ourselves so that we can avoid those administrative fees and delays that and mistakes. And I'll let Julie talk to you about where we're at on that.
Yeah, I brought it up in the finance committee a couple times ago. So what we're going to do is, we've already talked with the bank, BAZ, who we bank with now, and they can take the funds in the bank and they'll collateralize them, because that's the requirement by the government to do that. And bringing the funds in for us, we'll have to assign a treasurer, we'll have to have some policies and procedures, which again we'll take through the finance committee once we get through the bond problems there, and the bond financing. And then this is going to totally streamline my department. Right now, we have to go through the county to do everything. And we actually have to monthly call PG&E and get an extension, because we can't physically get the bill, get it to the county, and get the check in time before the PG&E bill is late. So we're spending a lot of time doing silly things like that. So we're going to bring the money down. The other thing is, we've got quite a bit of money, and we have our reserves there. None of that money is being invested. None of it. So the bank came out and met with Dina and I a few months ago, and they know that we want to invest some of it. They're very eager, of course, to take the money into the bank. But they'll help us with investments that are approved by the government, you know, very liquid, very safe things, where we can earn some interest on all those funds. Because right now it's just dormant money sitting with the county.
Yeah, and the county can invest that money for us, and every time we got an investment, they took out an administrative fee.
Well, I was going to say, I'm sure it's being invested, but I'm sure we're not seeing that investment.
That's a true point.
That's why we pulled it out. Remember, huh? We had it in investments, and we ended up pulling it out years ago. Yes, it was.
Yeah. Okay, so good news, and I think that'll be a great win-win-win for us when that takes
the goal
place.
Is the beginning of FY 2021 to get it done.
So in this, we're going to start budgeting with board approval on this. Getting a new building, as you are aware, we are in a triple wide that I think was, I don't know how old, when Virgil got his hands on the three sections of it, brought it out to the to the water plant, and it's falling apart in many respects. We walk on floors or dipping. So, you know, there's that issue. But the reason for a new building is really in these two areas are the most important things. One, in order for the public to be able to access the offices, and we do get a lot of public visitors during the course of the day, they're walking through a secure site. They're walking right through, you know, our water plant. We don't have security out there. I mean, one thing you could do is a cyclone fence off the water plant. That creates a whole new problem. It's about getting the chlorine truck in there, which requires a large area. So you have huge gates. You know, it's securing those gates, etc. So it's a huge problem that it's a security issue. That's the number one thing that says where we're at is not good, and it's just a problem waiting to occur. The other thing is that we have, as recently as I would say 3 weeks ago, individuals that have come in that have been engaged in violent and aggressive behavior with our staff. And we've had people walk all the way into the interior and come up on people that are typing in their cubicles and come right up behind them, which is quite startling, and it's quite upsetting to staff. And so we need to design a proper public building with access that keeps staff secure, yet at the same time enables us to provide good customer service to the walk-ins. And that is very difficult to do in our current situation. The other issue is the office space is very tight. I meet with board members at my office, and it's about an hour's time, and the claustrophobia sets in. But we also meet with other people. We meet with contractors. We meet with people that are getting building plans approved. We need to have staff meetings that are just the managers, etc. There's no real conference room area. If we engage in that in the middle of our building, the people that are in the cubicles around there can't hear. They can't do their, you know, phone calls and things of this nature. So we also want to be able to have our offices secure, where we have secure files and things of that nature. If you're engaged in public records or in employee files and things of that nature, you know, you're trying to process these things. Some of this is confidential. It's right there in the open. Very, very hard to control that access to those files, etc. I mentioned the flooring. We need an increased space for IT. It's been a constant challenge keeping that room cool. We have to buy special equipment to keep it. It probably would be the same in a new building, but the larger the building, you know, I mean, the more combined space, the more heat, and we are essentially in a closet. And sharing that IT space is, you know, everything from our toilet paper to our manila folders and pens and pencils. It's just, you know, thrown in there. Our HVAC system, we've already paid money a couple years ago when I got here to replace two of the three. You need one $8,000, it's probably $10,000 for each of the three sections. So there's $30,000 in HVAC equipment alone, absolutely ridiculous. And it doesn't work half the time. So we've got electrical issues. Just, you know, the place goes up, we're going to have a problem. And then we need an increased kitchen break area. We tell our staff you're entitled to a 10-minute break. You know, they should be able to get up and sit at the table in a break room without having to go outside in the heat or the cold. Otherwise, they're stuck at their desk. There's crumbs. They're stuck at, you know, there's all things associated with that. These are just a few of the ideas that I'm putting forward to why I think a new building is probably in order. And I wanted to let you know that we're looking at that in the budget. This is probably a time for us to talk more about this in one of our committee meetings and then bring that to you before the budget is actually approved. The two parts that is actually really two components to a new building, just briefly stated. One is this, you know, acquisition of property, construction, and then FF&E, your fixtures, furnishings, and equipment. So I won't talk about those numbers now. But we're looking at some potential options that we would discuss. Some of it would have to be in camera deal with real estate. It's probably in closed session. So, any questions? Just wanted to introduce you to that concept.
But
that effort will be in the budget for 2021? Something in the budget for
2 years. It's going to be over roughly 2 years.
2 years.
But I think it's this year and next year.
It's next year. I believe it's.
Uh, 2021 and 2022. Okay. Are there any plans to, or are we still looking at the possibility of putting in a tank in that location? I don't think the door is locked shut on that. Yeah, and that poses a whole other issue if that takes place. And there's not going to be enough room for people to even park in that area if that takes place. And then there's also some strategy of what would we do with the building. You know, if we leave it, that would be, that could possibly be a landscape for our landscape crew, so that we can explore that idea and have an electronic gate. It's our personnel now that are entering into the secure area and not the general public. So there's some options on how we could do this. We can flush it out.
Okay. I have a quick question, minutia item. I remember a discussion of the pipeline that goes, I think, from Cherry Hills over to the State House. There was a problem with that line. Is that
addressed? Yeah, that was the ductile iron sewer line. Yeah. We decided that it was not an emergency stuff, but it does need to be replaced, and I believe it's in our CIP.
There was some question about responsibility for that line, too, though, wasn't there?
Two separate things.
Okay.
Then there's Cherry Hill line, which is in the subdivision, and there's a lateral which connects to State House, too.
So it's a combination of the two. Yeah, we always talk about how difficult it's going to be for those homeowners to get across the driveway and all that kind of stuff. But that was 3 years ago.
Yeah. We have to shovel them in and out. I mean, this is going to be a major, this is going to take some thinking.
Yeah. Any further discussion on the fire station?
I am expecting a letter. I'm expecting a letter. The letter has not come. I think I know why. There was an inspection done over there, and so I think that's delayed the letter.
So it's moving along, though. The fire district is moving it along.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Do we need other board member suggestions?
I think you've done a fantastic job outlining where we were and where we're going. And I'd like to commend your management staff and all of the staff who are working hard to do the things on the budget side.
We think we're getting
moving forward.
And let's go open up to the public.
Sure, if we have any final public comment. Seeing none, we'll close the public comment.
All right, thank the board very much.
Thank you. Good job, Sam.
Oh, well done.